This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, January 13th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Lightning fast speeds. That's what 5G promised us. But despite the flashy commercials and a push by many cell phone carriers to get users to upgrade, 5G speeds often feel just like 4G LTE. On today's show, our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern joins us to discuss why this next generation of broadband doesn't seem to be living up to its promises, and why your cell phone might not be the best place to see its advances. That's after these headlines. Transportation authorities and more say they've been warning about outdated technology and other problems with the pilot alert system that brought U.S. air travel to a halt this week. According to the Transportation Department's most recent budget request for the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA's Notice to Air Missions, or NOTAMS, alert system was described as failing vintage hardware that needs replacing. A breakdown of the NOTAMS system led the FAA to halt all domestic departures for nearly 2 hours early Wednesday. Flight disruptions continued through Thursday, according to FlightAware. The world's biggest contract chipmaker is warning of a possible drop in revenue of up to 5% amid cooling demand after a pandemic boom. Taiwan Semiconductor, or TSMC, said Thursday the decline could lead to spending cuts. TSMC is in the midst of a global expansion, building new plants in Japan and Arizona, where it plans to produce the world's most sophisticated chips. Similarly, PC makers are expecting another year of slumping sales after shipments fell sharply in 2022. Worldwide, they dropped nearly 29% in the fourth quarter from a year earlier, marking the largest quarterly decline since the mid-90s, according to Gartner. The research firm also says a full recovery may not take place until 2024. One of the most important technologies to address climate change got a boost yesterday. The climate tech startup Climeworks announced it pulled carbon dioxide from the open air and stored it underground, removing it from the atmosphere. With me to discuss the development is our climate finance reporter, Amrith Ramkumar. Hey, Amrith. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Start us off by explaining why this is such a big deal.
For years, there have been promises and contracts that companies like Climeworks have said that we will do this, we will pull the carbon out, our technology works. But this is the first time a company has said, we did it, we successfully executed, a third party verified it, it's at a commercial scale, and big companies like Microsoft and other tech players can now claim that because they've paid for the credits, they can neutralize some of their emissions footprint. So it's still a small scale, it's still an early stage, this is still a new industry, but the fact that they were able to do this and make money really could jumpstart a lot of growth.
Can you describe the technology to us? Why is Climeworks' method different from others?
Sure. Direct air capture generally uses these massive vacuum-like devices. So they pull in air and then they use filter technology. So they filter it to increase the concentration of carbon dioxide. And then they have to bury it somehow. So the way Climeworks does it, they work with another startup that mixes the carbon with a ton of water and then they inject that deep underground so it can be stored for thousands of years. So this technology, direct air capture, is part of the broader group of carbon removal companies. So carbon removal is the idea that you're removing it directly from the open air and storing it away underground. And that's really important because we're trying to reverse basically human-caused climate change. And this is one of the only technologies to do that. Others include burying plant-rich material underground or enhanced mineral weathering, which is basically accelerating a process done by rocks. None of this should be confused with carbon capture, which is when companies try to capture emissions at factory smokestacks, for example. This is a whole separate thing where you're making a new device or doing a new process separate from existing factories to remove it from the air.
All right, that's our reporter, Amrith Ramkumar. Thanks for joining us, Amrith.
Thanks so much for having me.
To hear more from Amrith about processes like carbon transformation, check out our recent series on new climate tech. You can find it in your feed. And finally, staying with environmental technology, a South Korean conglomerate plans to spend $2.5 billion on an entire solar manufacturing supply chain in the state of Georgia. Hanwha Group plans to manufacture 3.3 gigawatts of solar panels a year and produce nearly all the main components that go into the panels on site. It's the biggest solar investment announced since massive tax incentives were introduced in the U.S. last year. All right, coming up, does it feel like that 5G symbol on the top of your phone hasn't made it faster? You're not imagining it. We'll tell you why after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
For years, it's been billed as the key to faster cell phone connections. Not only that, it was supposed to usher in a world of connected possibilities for technology. 5G-powered cars that notify traffic lights when you're close, 5G-powered robots performing surgeries or preparing food. But if you're feeling like 5G tech isn't living up to all those promises, you're not alone. We've got our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern here to explain why and what you can do about it. Hey, Joanna.
Hey, Zoe.
So, Joanna, maybe we should start with some background. Why did we expect 5G to be such a game changer?
Because the carriers made us think that it was going to be the next coming of technology gods. Look, carriers do this every time they have a big network upgrade, but 5G was particularly just blown out, right? You had Verizon with major ads. You still see them everywhere. The 5G America's waiting for. T-Mobile had this crazy Super Bowl ad with Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton.
5G phones. Trapped unlimited. Faster
speeds nationwide. Then you had AT&T, where they were saying it's going to transform the future. And so there was just tons of marketing hype about 5G. And many people also remember the race to 5G, that we have to beat other countries to 5G. And it wasn't really clear what 5G was going to do for us as consumers. But then we started getting 5G phones. And so they put the focus there, right? You buy these 5G phones, you're going to get blazing fast speeds.
Okay, but a lot of us have 5G now on our phones, and it doesn't feel like it's living up to its promises. So why is that?
Well, it depends on what network or carrier you have. But the real reason is that 5G is not really meant for phones. 4G unlocked a ton of things that we now do on our phones and made it really seamless. Streaming Netflix, Uber, because location services got better and the data connection was faster. TikTok, Instagram, all these things loaded faster on 4G. And the mobile apps, they were built for these types of networks to give better performance with lower bandwidth. And so now 5G comes along and it's like trying to put out a tea candle with a huge fire hose. You don't need that much power on your phones.
So can you explain a little bit, you know, what do we need to know about how 5G works, just to make it a little bit clearer for what we're getting on our phones and maybe what we don't need?
The biggest confusion about 5G has really been that all 5G is created equal. And so what happened in the beginning of 5G really is that really a lot of 4G became 5G. And so when your indicator on your phone says 5G and you're expecting crazy fast speeds, well, you might just be getting something very similar to 4G. In fact, I have Verizon. I often just see the regular 5G logo. When I turn off 5G and am back on LTE, I really don't even see the speed difference and don't feel that difference. So that was something called low band 5G. Then the real promise is something called mid-band 5G. And this is sort of the sweet spot between the low and the high, obviously. But it's the sweet spot because it covers more space and it has faster speeds than 4G. The issue is that not all the networks, all the carriers, had access to this band of 5G. T-Mobile has a lot of this band because of their acquisition of Sprint a few years back. And so if you're a T-Mobile customer, you actually really may see the benefit of 5G. And then there's this high band 5G, which is called millimeter wave. It's less frequent. It's super fast, but you've pretty much got to be near a tower or in one of these public spots where millimeter wave 5G is available, like an airport or an arena.
So for people who maybe made the switch to 5G and who are possibly, you know, paying more to have it, what can they do to get the most out of it?
So number one thing is to just look at your carrier, right? Because even if you have a 5G phone, you may not be actually getting the best 5G service. And so contact your carrier or look at the plans. My editor, I'll call him out here. He thought, oh, I have 5G. And he said, I don't see the 5G ultra wideband indicator you've been talking about, which is what Verizon brands its mid-band or high-band 5G. But he wasn't paying for the plan that had the faster network access. Then he started paying for the plan and he started to see the 5G UW. So the carriers will actually tell you in the network indicator if you have the mid-band or high-band connection. On T-Mobile, it will say 5G UC. On Verizon, it will say 5G UW. And on AT&T, it will say 5G Plus. Because things were not complicated enough.
Have the carriers said anything about this? I mean, are we hearing from them at all about what people should expect or why 5G isn't as blazing fast as we maybe thought it might be?
Yeah, so AT&T and Verizon both are working on that build out of that mid-band network, which should make things better. But they ultimately also will point to the fact that 5G has made some big difference in some different areas. One area is home internet. You can get a 5G router if you're on Verizon or T-Mobile, and that means you can get these really fast speeds at home when maybe you had an older type of connection at home, maybe a cable. And also, you also can now deal with the carriers versus using some older cable company. So that's one place it has made a difference. Another place that they'll point to and analysts pointed to when I spoke to them was is during these points of heavy congestion on the network. Say you're on a train and everyone's on their phone. Say you're in an arena and everybody's on their phone. 5G gives you a higher data capacity. So that may lessen the burden on you and you may notice that things upload faster or download faster.
I know you said 5G isn't really for phones, but when do we expect that 5G might live up to the connectivity promises that so many people talked about?
So the thing that the carriers and the analysts told me is that a lot of the promise of 5G comes with latency, lower latency. Latency is the time it takes for data to travel from one point to another, right? So the faster that connection, the more things can happen instantaneously. And that can help a lot with new categories. So drones, self-driving cars, things that are not your phone. Specifically, we've been hearing about in 5G, you know, these robot surgeons. You'll have a surgeon in Miami who can perform the surgery using all types of computers and technology where the robot is, let's say you're in New York, right? And so you want that robot to be on 5G or to have that low latency because you wouldn't want it to take longer. You wouldn't want something to be not instantaneous during surgery. So all of these things really depend on that latency getting better, which is going to get better as these networks get better.
So something to wait for and anticipate. That's our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. Thanks for joining us, Joanna.
Thank you.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Our executive producer is Chris Sinsley. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. A quick heads up, we'll be off on Monday in honor of MLK Day, but we'll be back on Tuesday with more tech news. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.